Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. Thanks for tuning in here on a Tuesday. 2 hours down, two to go here, live 2 to 6 every weekday. Congratulations to Pam in Bonita. She was our winner for our tickets to the City of Palms Classic. Coming up this hour, we'll give away some tickets to WWE and their WWE live event coming up here in January here in Southwest Florida. So we are prizes galore. If you're just tuning in, had a riveting conversation with Adam Schefter last hour about all things going on around the NFL, the Vikings, the Raiders, the Steelers. A lot of good stuff. If you want to comment on it, we'll rehash some of it here. It was really good. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Chris, you just said at the top, so Josh Johnson is playing Madden to learn his teammates with the Redskins.
That's what he did.
Yeah. What happened with Mark Sanchez? He just didn't know the plays, and all of a sudden he got benched?
No, he said it. He said he only knows a quarter of the playbook, something like that. Yeah, he said that. He knew that going in.
Yeah. Study harder. In. You know, get your that's like your last second chance. Know the playbook, learn it quickly.
So easier said than done.
But Josh Johnson goes to Madden to learn his teammates. That's kind of funny.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
I would just go
probably
to...
probably as good a source as any, right?
I'd go to the practice facility. I don't know. I don't know why.
Maybe watch film with the real players.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
But on film, real NFL film, they don't have the names of the players like they do in Madden.
That's true.
No, this was to learn their names.
Yeah, to learn their name. That's why he did it, to learn their names.
So I shouldn't make fun of him for this. This is a crafty move.
It worked, right? He finished the game 11 of 16, 195 yards. He threw a touchdown, led the team on another touchdown drive, and had an interception. And he's the starter against the Jags. That's already been named.
I'm more impressed that you had Josh Johnson's stats right at your fingertips.
Well, it's
like
a Sports Center
story.
Still,
I don't care. Right. I mean, that was impressive. I mean, he's their fourth string quarterback, and now he's playing. Life in
and
the
I
NFL.
Did. So there was the San Diego Fleet.
Yeah.
One of the teams he had signed with.
Yeah.
I believe that's an AAF team.
Yeah, I think.
Look at that. They're already putting guys in the league. This is going to work.
That's what it's all about.
This is going to work.
I think it will.
All right.
I think it will.
So last night's game, Monday Night Football, Seahawks beat the Vikings. Vikings are season on the brink right now.
So member of the fleet.
That's pretty impressive.
Part of the fleet.
Taking on the Miami Dolphins this Sunday, which is basically a must-win game for both teams. And I love the Dolphins' chances in this game.
Fins up.
I think the Vikings are falling apart at the seam.
So they fire their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo,
yep.
The former quarterbacks coach of the Super Bowl champion Eagles. And Adam Schefter said it was because John did not want to run the ball enough. That Mike Zimmer wants to run the ball. Ground and pound.
Yeah. Then don't hire him.
Yeah.
You can't run the ball effectively when your quarterback is only throwing the ball, won't throw the ball down the field, and has no guts and won't take any chances.
That's a wasted $84 million at this
point. Completely. We said that at the time. Did we not say?
Yes, you could have got this with Case Keenum.
Less.
Absolutely.
Oh, please.
So it was a bad hire, is what it sounds like to me. DeFilippo coming off the great run with the Eagles and the Super Bowl, which is always going to inflate your value. But
he made Nick Foles look good.
I think you got to know if you're Mike Zimmer, I need a guy who is going to have our run set up the pass.
Name me one coach that says run first, pass. That's Tom Coughlin.
That's not yesterday's. That's how the Patriots beat the snot out of the Miami Dolphins in Week 4.
Well, and it's why
it's with a fullback on the field.
Yeah, but this is why the Dolphins did the opposite. They ran for 189 yards against them. Yeah, but I mean, when it's working, you keep going with it. I agree. But like the last couple of games, if you watch the Vikings against the Patriots and then last night against the Seahawks, and for a lot of times this year, they go stagnant for big chunks. And it's a combination of the quarterback that has no balls and won't throw the ball down the field, won't take chances, same reputation he had in Washington. They got Mike Zimmer, who I think is not a great head coach right now because of the way He doesn't seem to want to take control. He's still giving Stefanski power to call offensive plays. And just some of the play calling last night. I mean, you're going to become one-dimensional when your quarterback won't throw the ball down the field. So you're going to stop all the short passes. You're going to stop the run game. Stagnant.
Yeah, that's tough to argue when you look at it in a shell last night. But
no,
they
the last couple games.
But they haven't looked like that all season.
No, but lots of times this year they have. They really have. And they stink on Monday night. Whenever the game, the bigger the game, the bigger the atmosphere, the worse they play. And Cousins, that is a fact.
Zimmer's mom goes to my church. I'll get some insight.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. That's right.
Let's go to the phones.
They're about to crack off a joke.
No, not going to do that. 239-337-ESPN. Sean in Lehigh is joining us. He wants to talk about John Gruden, who we talked about, and we'll rehash this some more. Reggie McKenzie gets fired. John Gruden acts like he's the most surprised person on earth. Adam Schefter pretty much said, Gruden wasn't really being real truthful.
Again.
So, Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey,
thanks for calling. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
So one thing I don't want to discuss or even try to debate is the moral dilemma with John Gruden. I obviously feel like, you know, I agree. He's not telling the truth, you know, not being forthright with a lot of stuff. That's inarguable.
Uh-huh.
One thing I'm kind of thinking people should really pump the brakes on, maybe you know, you as well, Pete, I think you're being a little bit harsh, is that, you know, how do we not know that obviously Gruden's doing a teardown and a rebuild,
right?
He's got 10 years there, right? A lot of the big dogs are getting ready to go out. New England's on its way out the door. New Orleans is on its way out the door. Pittsburgh's on its way out the door. What's to say that in those, the Raiders aren't going to be built to a Super Bowl contending team? Like, why are we so quick to jump on this, like, it's this big travesty that he's going through a rebuild?
I'm listening to the man speak. I feel like the game has – I don't care what kind of coach he is. He's been a great coach. No, he's been a very good coach. I won't say great. He's been a pretty decent coach in the past. He's been good. Not the last 5 years he wasn't, but he's been good in the past. Won a Super Bowl with somebody else's lineup. And do you feel, Sean, that – first of all, he's even going to make it through 10 years? I don't think he's going to make it through five. And then you are confident enough that he still has a grasp on the game in this day and age to not only pick the right players but to coach them to get back to, at minimum, the playoffs? I mean, I don't know. He's got a lot to prove to me. That's all I'm saying.
I think that John Gruden, and this is by no means an attempt to be disrespectful, but I think that he knows more about football than any of us talking right now.
Sure.
And I do think that I feel like the Raiders are going to be contenders here in the next couple of years. I'm not like a John Gruden cultist or anything like that by any means, but I am excited to see what he's going to do. They're going to be better, and they're going to be through this building
process. How do you know?
I mean, you can't get much worse.
Yeah, you can, though.
And I do think he's smart enough and knows enough and has football enough in his blood to where he's going to build a good team. And like I said, a lot of the big contenders, man, are old and on their way out the door right now.
Well, you're assuming that, but that's a big assumption because that record's been played over and over again for many years. So that's until it happens.
Well, I would say Sean's right on a lot of things that he said. And look, nobody expected the Patriots to still be good 18 years later. That song should have played out by now.
I hear what he's saying about, in particular, Pittsburgh and New England. Because when the quarterbacks go, you just don't know. Could they continue success? Absolutely. Yeah. Could it fall off? Yes, it could. But look in your own division. Anybody think Kansas City's going anywhere anytime soon?
No.
That team's not going anywhere.
No.
Rivers is still in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's
10 wins already.
I've
been the one that's been paid. Look, I want to see it play out. I'm not going to judge Gruden on the first 75% of his first season here. I'm willing to get to Vegas. I want to see what he does with these first round picks.
Yeah, fair enough.
Then I will judge the man.
Fair enough.
As the coach.
What I have a difficult time defending is the lying.
Lies.
Listen, if you're going to tear it down, say it.
Yeah.
The Sixers did it. Yeah. I said, Lone, we're going to trust the process. We're going to have 4 years where we're going to be terrible, guys.
Right. He didn't want to tell the fan base that.
But he didn't want to do that because he didn't want he didn't want to upset the Oakland fan base. He wanted the Oakland fan base to at least feel like before this season, like they were going to send their team off that it was going to be successful the last few years.
Yeah. 239 brings up a good point. Can't get worse. I'm a Bills fan. I've been saying that for 17 years, and they prove me wrong every year. That is true. I mean, look at that organization where they were from four straight Super Bowls to what's happened since, a playoff run here, a playoff run there at times. But it can happen. People say it all the time, they can't get worse. Yes, you can. You can get worse. Look at the difference between Hugh Jackson now with Cleveland now. The numbers they're astounding how much better Baker Mayfield is with him not there. You can get worse. And I'm not saying John Gruden's going to be doing the Raiders the next couple of years. But you can't completely dismiss it because they could get worse.
Who was it over there in Nicklet?
Mary Kay Cabot.
She's saying, man, if we had just started Baker out of the box, got that extra win.
They'd be leading the division.
They'd be in the playoffs, no doubt about it. And it can get worse. I speak as a Lions fan at 0-16 at one point. Chris and Punta Gordon, Gorda, wanting to talk Gruden. Yes. That's easy to say. Chris, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good, what's up?
I just had a response to that last caller talking about how John Gruden knows more football than all of us combined, but he threw the challenge flag after a play had been reviewed after the score. That looked pretty damn bad, if you ask me.
I agree. From an X's and O standpoint, Chris, all right, a lot of coaches in the league, yes, they know more than we do as far as scheming and all that stuff. I grant you that. But I'll tell you what, I'll coach against Hugh Jackson any day of the week just by watching Madden. And I guarantee you I could be more imaginative than he was with Baker Mayfield and coached a 1-33 team.
We give a lot of these coaches a lot of credit. And just, for example, last night, Mike Zimmer and that team couldn't move the ball at all, and they're paying a quarterback $80-something million guaranteed, and he put up 7 points all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're giving these coaches and players a little bit too much credit because somebody that comes in the game like a Nick Mullins can put up a 30 spot on a top 15 defense.
Yeah.
Good point.
No, it's a great point, and this is what happened. And I think, you want to talk about the Vikings as we did with Adam, the banged up offensive. I grant you all of that stuff. Look, I've seen the Dolphins with a banged up offensive. I've seen teams with much lesser talent still fight their way and be a little more imaginative. And even the Dolphins at times, and we get frustrated, and the Cincinnati game and the Indy game, I get it. But they look a lot more organized than the Vikings do right now. They do. And Zimmer's a big part of this. And I do think his job will be in jeopardy. If they miss the playoffs this year, I think he's in serious trouble.
You missed it. Well, going to what you said and what Adam Schefter said, I mean, it seems like the patience. I mean, it was always the not for long league anyway. But the patience now is just accelerated with all these assistants being fired to try and save your own bacon as a head coach. I mean, Zimmer was a high-flying playoff coach last year, and he has one bad year, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but now we're talking about the guy's job is in jeopardy season?
What has happened to the play calling between now and when Case Keenum was on the team last year?
Pat Shermer's with the Giants now.
All right, the Pat Shermer's with the Giants and the Vikings O-line may be a little bit more banged up. All right, still, you still got to be able to come up with a better offensive scheme than we've seen the last 2 weeks. 239, did Pete really just say you could out-coach some NFL coach? I would stand on the sideline. If you give me a week to prepare against Hugh Jackson with the same talent, I can come up with a better scheme than he did with the Browns. Yes, I firmly believe that.
I have no doubt I could call a better game than Cam Cameron. doubt.
Now, I'm going to take it in a different direction
than
you two.
You've seen on Madden, team.
I've seen it on Madden.
I'm going to go in a different direction than you two. Because I have said before, give me the $5 to $10 million. I can be a GM, NBA or NFL. Give me a capologist now.
Help me with the math part.
Yeah.
I can be a better GM than a lot of these clowns out there. Fact.
Well, they get caught up. They get caught up in flash over substance sometimes. That's really what happens.
The Houston Rockets, what they did with Carmelo Anthony, ridiculous.
Well, that's a whole different. That's a whole
getting
different
rid of
animal.
Trevor Ariza, who by the way is about ready to sign with the Lakers now. Yeah, make them better.
Traded.
Huh?
He's with the Suns, isn't he?
Yeah, he's about ready to go to the Lakers.
Yeah,
now.
Not signed with the Lakers. He's going to get traded to the Lakers. I'm you got to give up something to get when a talent like Ariza.
The Lakers got Ariza. They got Carmelo Anthony. It's going to be great.
By the way, did you see who was courtside last night?
Yeah. Which game?
Lakers Heat.
Who?
Melo.
Melo. Yeah.
Oh, was he?
I mean, it was the same view from the bench, but
did
it
you
was.
See did you see Lonzo Ball make an ass out of himself?
Oh, this was priceless.
There's a montage of miscues by him last night.
The best one, though, he's going in for an open layup and decides to do a fancy no-look behind him pass.
This was after he missed a bunny. He missed a bunny. He had a two-rebounded chance and missed it then.
Flips it behind him to nobody. Gets intercepted. Turned into a three on the other side. And Luke Walton is just shaking his head on the sidelines.
Happens.
It is awesome.
Happens.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, of course, coming up later on this hour, we've got a little tearjerker of a montage for you.
It's a good one.
With LeBron and Dwayne Wade playing each other head-to-head, best buddies, former teammates, playing each other head-to-head for the last time last night. In the
former
Lakers
teammates
win.
Twice.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about the Cleveland
run. He was a Cav. Wade was a Cav last year.
And then LeBron had to backtrack today, beep, 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 because of what he said and caught on tape last night with Wade saying, oh, it's either going to be here or the Garden, meaning, oh, I was either going to go to the Knicks or come here. And then he had to backtrack and say, no, that really wasn't.
Yeah.
Really wasn't the case.
Yeah, he's going to go to the Los Angeles Botanical Garden probably, right?
Yeah.
After the game.
Boston Garden.
Yeah. No, he's talking about Madison Square Garden.
I know.
Go hit it up, get a nice bottle of wine,
a
couple glasses, sit down with your boy, watch some butterflies.
Yep.
I'd hope a couple glasses as opposed to, what, paper bags sitting on the side of the street?
No, I'm saying two glasses. They're not, a party over here. This is an intimate evening for two.
Yeah, it's a bromance.
Friends.
Nice. Absolutely.
239, the next thing you know, Craig gets a GM job and he'll be the one that calls into the show. Wow.
Wow.
I would call in the show, by the way.
We got more football to talk about with the Steelers and everything. Can I throw this Tampa Bay story in real quick?
Yeah.
Because Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Times, tell me, does this, I want to know if this angers race or whatever. Stuart Sternberg, the owner, principal owner, you know, spoke today, said the lack of details and progress for the planned $892 million stadium in Ybor City that was to open in 2023 made it clear it was not going to work, and thus there was no point in asking for an extension on the December 31st deadline. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said today in a letter sent to Tampa officials saying the framework of the deal was lacking too many details. First of all, why?
All details.
So in short, the Rays joined Manfred in saying there had not been nearly enough progress on the Ybor project to make it happen, even with the short extension on December 31st. Expiring agreement with St. Petersburg to look on the other side of the bridge. Quote, Sternberg saying, while momentum and progress are real, we are not close at all to a workable framework. Again, I ask, why? What the hell have you been doing? Why? We've had a long time. 3 years is a long time. Sternberg noted the hours and many millions the team invested in the Ybor project and said the failure was not due to lack of effort on any party. Then what happened? What happened?
Some genius about 6 months ago said, hey, here's an idea. Let me see if it sticks to the wall. How about Ybor City? And they did no detail work.
He says, while I'm wildly disappointed by the result, I'm not discouraged. I firmly committed to helping the Rays remain and thrive in Tampa Bay for decades and generations to come.
Well,
he grunted himself. Major League Baseball is a large part of what defines Tampa Bay as a major league region, and I continue to be enthusiastic about finding a way forward.
This could be ebb and flow of negotiations.
He said we're at two strikes right now. He also noted, citing the failed 2007-08 effort to build on the downtown team, we're at two strikes right now. But I don't understand yet. You've spent, according to him, millions of dollars and all this research and everything else, and you failed?
Have they done a feasibility study yet?
I don't know what they've done. All I know is they wasted, according to him, millions of dollars on what? What have you done?
Not starting pitching.
Yeah, please. Give me one more starter. Not this committee crap.
Oh, my God.
You might actually make the playoffs.
No, I like the starters.
I know you do. You made a pretty good point yesterday.
He also acknowledged at this point, any new stadium in the Tampa Bay area wouldn't be ready until 2024. And at some point, they have to start thinking about where they would play in 2028.
Miami.
When they could relocate with permission. No, it's going to be
in
Montreal.
Portland. Vegas,
Charlotte. No, you don't have to realign if it's Montreal.
Vegas, Charlotte. Nashville, also considered possible sites.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a couple of years to figure it out.
I don't think baseball works in Vegas.
Why not? It's desert. So it never rains out.
Mm. It's always hot.
No, obviously going to be in a dome.
It'll be another lovely dome stadium.
I just don't think it works. I'll tell you.
All right. Very good.
The hockey team ain't going to work out much longer either, I'm telling you. They went had their little run. Now they stink. Or they're at mediocre at best, and it's going to keep going down. Let's see what happens when.
They played for the cup last year.
I know
Pete.
That, and I told you what would happen after that. That the way the salary cap
was. No, you told us
was,
before last year that they'd be the worst team in hockey.
No,
how'd that work out?
I did not say they were the worst team in hockey. They obviously exceeded everybody's expectations. We can go through all my predictions. How about all my baseball predictions that I nailed this year? Every single one of them. Every one of them
in
the playoffs.
A random Tuesday night Red Sox game doesn't count.
And I want to see what happens with Vegas when they are the eighth seed or don't make the playoffs. Let's see how many fans come then. That's all. That's all. That's what's my argument right from the get go.
By then,
great,
it won't
great
matter.
The first year. Yeah, it does matter.
No, by then it won't matter.
Yeah, because they'll move.
Because John Gruden and the Mighty
Quebec.
Raiders are coming to town.
Oh,
and they'll
pick
up the slack.
They'll save everything.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. They're going to be peaking at the right time. Fact.
Such a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
I'm a realist. What do you mean a
curmudgeon? Curmudgeon.
What's a curmudgeon about
your
saying?
Your nabob of negativity does not go with your sunshiny shirt that you're wearing today.
The defending West. It's a nice shirt.
It's a beautiful shirt. You look like a human tangerine. It's lovely.
I like that.
I thought you were about to say something else.
Clementine?
What? No.
What were you saying?
No, I can't. I can't
do it on the air? All right, we'll do it off the air.
Gonna make fun of me.
I don't even know where you're going with that.
Gonna make fun
of
me.
We'll find out. All right, more NFL talk. We may play. We know we need to replay those Gruden sound bites when we come back.
Oh, now that
under the light of, well, you always thought he was lying. Adam Schefter said he's lying. Let's play him again.
And the Vikings.
Well, the beat machine.
And the Steelers, they're lying too.
This internet's really upsetting me right now.
It is. It's bad. Mine's
I'm worse. About ready to throw my mouse at this monitor.
Don't. I was going to smash mine earlier. Remember?
That's why I kill a tree every day printing paper before we start driving this show every day, boys. Internet free.
Problem is, I don't know where you guys are going to take it, so I can't just print off the internet. You know how much paper that would take to print the internet? Thousands.
You want me to just print my notes for you every day? Let's see. 239. Pete has Patriot syndrome. So used to winning, he thinks teams won't work in cities when they suck. Pete knows best.
No, but I'm talking about in Las Vegas.
PKB.
That is going to be a tough sell if your team isn't good. That's all I'm saying. That's just the way that city rolls.
We're going to talk some more football here.
Tough sell in Miami, too.
Have they been winning?
The baseball team.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Oh, ELO. Good job, Chris.
ESPN is the number.
This is actually from Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I remember.
I don't know what ELO is.
ELO, Electric Light Orchestra.
It's a song.
Stupid.
Oh, tons of good stuff.
It's played on a giant Walkman in this movie.
So many great hits. And they were the first ones to use like digital lighting. You go see a concert by them, you were entertained. Even if you didn't like the music, the light show was unbelievable.
Saw my first laser show at a Neil Diamond concert when I was like 10.
Neil Diamond concert.
We've got laser show at Neil Diamond?
Yeah. Huh. Opening song. Beasley Bike Drive, Friday. We're broadcasting our show from the Walmart in Estero. We'll be there from 2 to 6. In fact, Beasley Broadcasting will be there from 6A to 6P. So we'll anchor it. And out there in the parking lot, literally broadcasting our show, inviting you to come on by, honk a horn when you drive by, the whole deal. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, purchase at Walmart a new bike or get a new bike and donate it there. New unwrapped toys, gifts, cash, gift cards, the whole deal. We'll be collecting it all to help the less needy in our area for the Christmas holiday. So that's Friday's show. Want to read a Stony Brook Golf Club text line because we were going pretty hard on Pete before about having Patriot syndrome and all that kind of stuff.
My feelings. Chris was going to call me a bad name.
I can't read the text because my internet is...
Really?
Stone men had better internet than me.
Oh, I'm having no problem at the moment. 239 said, people need to back off of Pete.
Yeah.
He's the most objective and fair chowderhead that I've ever heard.
I take that as a total compliment. Thank you.
You
is
should.
That a, is that a compliment? Or is that,
absolutely
is that a tongue-in-cheek compliment? Is that a backhanded compliment?
No, it's not. That is not the white glove slap in the face compliment. That
seems
is,
like a slap.
No, nope, seems like
the chowder head thing.
Nope, that's fine.
Chowder head.
Like you're the skinniest girl at fat camp?
Yeah. Something like that.
Can I say that now?
I don't
is
think
that,
so. I feel very uncomfortable now all
that,
of a sudden.
That really hurts.
Whatever. Sorry. Truth hurts sometimes.
Do we have more breaking Raider news?
No, well, not breaking, but a couple of things. Your Lions have placed Ezekiel Ansah on the IR, so he's done.
You'll never see him playing a Lion uniform again.
Nope. He'll look good in the Patriot uniform next year,
oh,
though.
Oh, that's disgusting.
No, they don't pay for players.
Oh, really? Okay. He'll be in the mix. That's kind of
yeah. He'll be the highest paid defensive lineman in the league next year.
If he's healthy, just stay. All right, now
they'll never pay that much for a D end.
City
yeah,
of
the
Oakland,
Patriots won't.
The city
no.
of Oakland today,
Lions won't either.
Today, 19 minutes ago, this came out. City of Oakland has filed a federal antitrust lawsuit against the Raiders and the NFL for the terms for the team's illegal plan move to Vegas.
Illegal plan.
City is seeking millions in damages and for them to pay off $80 million in debt for renovations. The Raiders have said they will not play in the Coliseum next year if they're sued. So, you people in Ybor City, can Tampa support two football teams? They may need to build this one really quick.
Yeah.
Raiders being sued by the city. Saying if they are sued, they won't play in the Coliseum next. Can they fit another team in Los Angeles?
Well, this is why we were discussing a while back that the Raiders didn't know where they were going to play next year. They really
you know where they could play next year.
Where?
San Diego.
Oh, that would be something. Wouldn't that be something?
They actually have a large fan base down there.
They have a massive fan base down there.
More than the Chargers do.
It could work.
That was always the case when they
played. So what do you think? Can Qualcomm?
Is Qualcomm worse than the Black Hole?
Well,
no.
The Black Hole, they're not letting them play there.
They're saying if they sue them, they will not be allowed to play in the Coliseum if sued. Fact.
Yeah.
All right. Internet's back.
There you go. Back with a vengeance.
Had Ziggy 941 had Ziggy Ants on the Pats on Madden. He looked good.
That disgusts me. Absolutely disgusting.
It'll never happen. Somebody else will overpay for him.
All right. I want to ask. I have another quiz. You know, I gave you guys a quiz yesterday. That worked out well.
And Bryce Callahan, the quarterback for the Bears, is out for the year, too. He broke a bone in his foot.
Who?
Bryce Callahan. That's a big loss for them.
All right. I have a quick quiz for you. And I know we have a lot of snowbird Michiganders down here, so they won't mind if we do this for a second. All right. In the Detroit Free Press today was the headline, the Detroit Lions could still make the playoffs. Here's how. First of all, they have to run the table, right? They got to win their last three games. They're 5-8 right now. They've got the Titans, the Colts, and the Cowboys. No, that's not right.
That can't be right.
That's not right. I'm reading this wrong. Hold on. Back up. They have games against Green Bay, Buffalo, and the Vikings. All winnable, possibly, right?
Spoiler alert.
All losable
Could
as
go
well.
8-8. All right, so here's what they need. Now, you tell me if assuming the Lions can win their last three. They need the 5-8 Giants to lose at least one. They have the Titans, Colts, and Cowboys. Can the Giants lose one there?
Well, let's be clear. They're the 13th seed right now. They're still alive.
Yes.
That's a minor detail. Minor
well,
detail.
Well, it actually kind of is because they have 8 losses and all the rest of the teams ahead of them have 7.
All right, here's all the teams ahead of them. Yeah. So the Giants at 5-8. Titans, Colts, and Cowboys. Can they lose one of those?
Titans, Colts, Cowboys, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Next. 5-8 Tampa. Can they lose one against the Ravens, Cowboys, or Falcons?
They could lose all of them.
Good. 6-7 Carolina. Whom the Lions have beat because Ron Rivera went for 2.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one?
Oh, Turkey Day.
Yeah.
They're done.
No, it wasn't Turkey Day.
No, it was
the Lions lost to the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Then I think the next week lost one accidentally.
Okay.
They literally tried to lose.
That was, all right.
Chase
Daniel.
Daniel did the Lions in that day.
Yeah. Can Cam Newton and the boys lose once? They have the Saints twice and the Falcons.
Yes. All three. They're gonna lose all three.
Okay. Lions also need Washington at 6-7 to lose twice to Jacksonville, Tennessee. Or the Eagles.
The way they're going?
Possible?
That's likely.
That's likely. Absolutely likely.
All right. All that is doable. Now, here's where it gets a little dicey.
Okay.
Minnesota, after their loss to Seattle, they're 6-6-1. Minnesota has the Dolphins, Lions, and Bears left on their schedule.
Oh, my.
Because of that tie, if the Lions and the Bears both beat Minnesota, they finish with 8 losses and can only have 7 wins at most.
There you go. I think you're just counting the Dolphins in there, but go ahead.
I think Miami's going to beat them.
I think this is where the Dolphins notoriously lay an egg, but
I hope not. I don't think so. I think they're catching that team at the perfect time.
I hope not.
They're going to play a team like that on the road. Play them right now.
That's all that needs to happen for the Lions to make the playoffs, boys and girls. That's it.
Oh, that's it?
That is it.
Just those things?
Those, yeah.
All right, so I'll put you the 6th seed. So you're in Chicago in the opening weekend of the NFL Saturday.
I think we can handle that.
Detroit Bears.
There we go. I'm all over it. I'm back in. I cashed in on the season. I'm in that Chris's no man's land. I mean, we're looking at, you know, 8-8, 7-9, draft picks.
Don't do that to the Dolphins. Dolphins are above 500 right now. It's a good football team.
You know the Lions could eat a dolphin, right?
I mean,
if they could get one out of the water.
No, because, right, what would happen in the water? Dolphins are some of the, they are the smartest mammal outside of human.
And strong. And they're the only mammal out there that can beat up a great white and beat them.
They can kill an orca. You ever seen that?
Yep.
A lion can eat an orca.
Once again, once a lion gets in the water, it's done.
A lion's not stupid enough to go in the water.
It's a fish out of water at that point.
The lion would wait for the orca to wash up and eat him.
I don't think so.
Fact!
Orca would swallow the lion whole like a baby, like a seal.
Anyway, I'm stuck in between rooting for losses and high draft picks or
that's where I'm at.
I know.
It's such a tough spot.
Chris,
like
you're in a little
end.
Better
it's
situation.
It's like the friend zone of sports is where it is.
The Bucks are still
How
alive.
Have I never thought of that?
What?
The friend zone of sports. That's 8-8.
Thank you.
That's what 500 is.
Nope.
It's the friend zone.
I thought that was
brilliant
when it just popped into my brain. I kind of liked it.
I
pat myself on the back.
Sports purgatory. That's
you really can't get out of it. No, but that's the friend zone. You're stuck. You're in limbo. You're friends. You can see.
I used to make an analogy all the time with the old Washington Bullets / Wizards. They were stuck at that 500 to 5 games above 500 for a decade.
Yeah.
After Wes Unseld, they won a title in 78. That was it.
Yeah.
They just, you know, have a little bit of a run once, and they just stayed at that level for decades in the NBA.
Thank you, 810. The Lions did eat the Dolphins earlier this season. Fact!
Metaphorically. Talking literal.
Oh.
You talk about both of your teams, a play here, a play there, how different just one more win would be right now.
You know, a play here and a play there, you might have home field advantage if you're a Patriots fan, but you're not going to have it. Ha!
Booyah!
Ah! Drop the mic. Take a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Let's wait.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, we're friends. Friends with Chris, LeBron and Dwayne Wade, they're friends.
Chubby's
everybody's
mates.
Friends.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a TV show called Friends.
I feel like we should play that.
Yeah, it's all good.
I was gonna, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
what happened?
Well, I thought this would go over better.
I like it.
More direct, more blunt.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be more blunt with
us. One leans more towards the male listener, one leans more towards the female listener. I figure we should appease our male listening audience right now.
Gotcha.
Don't worry, ladies. I'll take care of you next hour.
You've got a friend. James Taylor.
All right. So.
I won't play him.
Last night, the Lakers played the Heat. Lakers won 108-105. That's almost incidental to the story. It is the last time that LeBron and D-Wade will face each other as foes. Of course, they're best buddies, they're best chums, they're best friends.
What if they made it to the finals?
Yeah, that's not happening. Dwayne Wade's career is going to be over after this year. He's going off into the sunset. And they, of course, were teammates for a little while. Won a couple of chips together with the Heat. Played briefly together with the Cavs as well. Anyway, it was a love fest afterward. You know, normally I like to see players upset after a loss, but it was a hug fest immediately afterward. And they both talked about how much they love each other and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Chris has put together a little piece, so I'll get out the tissue, you know, pull over the side of the road if need be. Here is LeBron and Dwayne going down memory lane.
You know, some people do it a different way. Some people say you shouldn't be friends with competitors because you still can't compete. And I think people realize and seeing that even with our friendship, we competed against each other.
You know, like I said, the only thing I knew the environment was going to be great. You know, I knew that at some point after the game, you know, it was going to hit me that this is the last time we was competing versus each other.
And push each other when we were playing against each other. We were watching each other from afar. We pushed each other, especially those first 7 years. And then we got together for 4 years. We pushed each other even more then and did something special. And then we pushed each other even more, you know, when we became competitors once again. So,
and it hit me right away, you know, once that buzzer sound and we got opportunity on the court just to be look at each other and be like, man, this has been fun. It's been one hell of a ride. And, you know, we've enjoyed it together.
I mean, we did it our way. We didn't care about the narrative or people created before us or, you know, people said during or people saying now. We did it our way. And, you know, it was unbelievable ride.
It's over. Never to be seen again. All right. Should the cynical wise ass and myself come out, or should is this a big deal? Is this a thing? Do people find that touching?
This is not Bird Magic or Jordan, Kobe, or any. It's not, I don't even think it's close. To be honest.
Are people comparing it to that?
That's, it sounds that way. I mean, is that what you think of?
I got to tell you, that didn't even come into my mind.
I don't think of it that way. I'm sorry.
They're
good teammates.
But they're two of the best players.
Oh, yeah. No greed. I mean,
to play in what?
In the NBA from this generation.
I mean, when
you talk about the NBA from 2000 to today,
yeah,
you don't leave either guy out. In fact, you probably put each guy in your top five. When it comes to most influential players since they came into the league in 2003?
I'm going to have to think about D-Wade being in my top
definitely
five.
Definitely LeBron, no question.
Really?
I liked Wade when he was at Marquette. I knew he was going to be a stud.
Yeah.
Except for the final four appearance where he lost by 40 to Kansas, I think. And they were down by 45 in the first 10 minutes. But other than that,
he had knee surgery that week to remove his meniscus. That's the reason his knees were so bad at the end of his career. He had nothing stopping bone on bone.
I don't put Dwayne Wade in the same level as LeBron and MJ and those guys. I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I'm not being a smart aleck.
Maybe it's because I grew up down here. I mean, he is, for my generation, the generation that didn't get Dan Marino.
Yeah.
He's Florida sports. He's South Florida sports.
I'll grant you that for South Florida. But
how many
in the big picture of
how
the
many
whole
shooting
country,
guards in this generation would you rather have?
I'm going to have to ponder that for a moment.
Yeah, I'd have to go through really think about it. I think he's a great player. No, I'm not
yeah,
taking away
I'm not,
from him.
I'm not knocking the guy.
Because there's one of the last 20 years, one shooting guard that I would rather have.
Who?
Kobe.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Kobe. No,
yeah.
Kobe's the one shooting guard that I would rather have than Dwayne Wade in the last 20 years.
Okay.
I have to think about this.
So if you're going to put Kobe and LeBron, there's two spots in your top five already. You're still putting Dwayne Wade in your top five?
For the last 20 years, sure. Over that 20-year span, you got to throw Kevin Durant
in there
as well.
Wait a minute, you're going back 20? You're giving me 20 years to come up with three other
okay,
guys?
Let's go 15. So we'll go back 15 to the 2003 draft.
All right.
When all those guys came into the league.
Well.
Listen, you
why
guys.
Why do I put Durant in that? I'm not putting a 7-footer in that category.
You're arguing with me, yet you can't come up with anybody to
resist. I'm talking about this montage moment of LeBron and Wade. I mean, like, it's not Magic Bird or Jordan or I don't know. It doesn't feel the same. Or Kobe.
Okay,
Kobe Shaq. I could see Kobe Shaq. I could see that. This, like, emotional montage, but...
Yeah, I can see that.
They won what? They won three together?
Yeah, in a row.
They won two together.
Yeah.
Got to the finals four straight years. They're arguably the two guys that set up today's NBA, where players have all the freedom to go wherever they want as free agents and team up. The Warriors are – the reason the Warriors are what they are today is because the Miami Heat did it first.
Reggie Miller, someone said, Allen Iverson.
8'6", too. Yeah, Reggie Miller, way better
Iverson's
shooter.
Not a point guard, you dope. Or a shooting guard.
Actually, he is a point guard.
Otherwise, that's why you can't put Steph Curry.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Shooting guards.
But should Kevin Durant be in that? I don't know.
He's not a shooting guard. He's a forward.
I would take Reggie Miller and Kobe Bryant above Dwayne Wade.
You take Reggie Miller above Dwayne Wade.
Reggie Miller was the greatest three-point shooter in the game.
What else did he do?
That's what his job was. He was a shooting guard. He shot three-pointers better than anybody.
I'm just saying, that's a tough call. Wade put a team on his back and won an NBA title.
He was
Reggie Miller.
He was great in the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, Wade did. I mean, Wade's a leader.
8'6", Don't say Wade never won on his own. Wade carried Shaq to that 06 title.
Yeah, Wade's got it.
He carried an old Shaq.
In fact, I'll argue LeBron borrowed one off of Dwayne Wade's back.
Yeah.
To get off the hump. Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. Look.
Ray Allen, I'm
entertaining Dwayne Wade in a very short conversation, but you kind of hit me here for a second. I'm like, I'd never put him in the upper echelon. So I'm sitting here thinking this through, and I thought maybe last night was a little too emotional. The NBA made too big of a deal of it. That's just me.
Ray Allen, but again, Ray was a great shooter.
But when he was in Milwaukee doing it on his own, what's the farthest that they got? Eastern Conference Final?
I don't even know if they got
there.
I think they got there in 01 when Iverson's Sixers beat them. I could be off on that, but I thought that was the Eastern Conference Final.
We almost had a Milwaukee Lakers final.
No, actually, you know what? I actually think they beat the Celtics that year.
Was it a crazy year where the Celtics got to the Eastern Conference Finals?
And,
long time ago. Yeah. I can't remember.
But anyway,
Ray Allen also helped Wade get one of his rings with the shot in the corner against the Spurs. But
all right, fascinating conversation in a short segment here.
After the top of the hour, I have the statement here by the Raiders city attorney. This is hysterical.
And we're going to hear more from John Gruden's comments from yesterday as well. A lot of NFL on our plate. And I got a couple of tickets to the WWE Live in January here at Hertz Arena. John Cena is there. Caller number 9-239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Be a winner on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.